Hello. One's personal library reveals a lot about one's essence, and we are a product of our subconscious. Now, my library is full of a lot of esoteric spirituality books, and one of my favorite authors is Dion Fortune. But before I get to Dion Fortune, I want to briefly talk about the Right Use of Will book series. Okay. Now, these have to be read in order, in order for the impact to really provide the impressions to unfold in a healthy manner. Because the subconscious will provide the reflection in order for us to actually feel and create movement and stirrings within us for our own personal growth, for our own evolution of consciousness, and for our own expansion of awareness. Lot of people don't make it through the first book. From what I've been told. Now, I've also read on other forums like Reddit and even Amazon reviews how strange things can begin to happen that are being observed from someone other than that's reading the book. So, if we want a true understanding, step one is to eliminate all the noise within our life, be comfortable to a point where we can sit down and quiet the mind and read the Right Use of Will book series. So this is book one. It's not as extreme as the other books that follow. I'm just gonna leave it at that. Okay. Book one, and if you can I'm going to go through all the books, but they are available. I created a website. It's more like a landing site, www.rightuseofwill.life. There's a lot of information that can be got about these books. Okay. Now, when I was reading the last book called Imprinting, A Healing of the Chakras. So I started this book on, let's see. Normally I put the date. Yeah. Normally I begin a book, I put the date in there. So January 31st, 2026, I began reading this book. This is Book 8 of 8 of the Right Use of Will series, and I read all of them in 6 months. That is extremely fast for these type of books, but that was okay for me to do one go around. I will eventually loop back around and read them again. But as I was reading this book. And by the way, the author of this book, she channeled Source. Okay. Now, Source is all around us. We're all one. But her channel was so clear that the teachings that came through are unlike any other channeling that I have heard or read. Other than Dion Fortune, which she also, with her book, The Cosmic Doctrine, very powerful when it comes to creation and also on how creation has manifested and continues to manifest and how it will unfold and how we as individual consciousness will evolve and unfold because we are a reflection of the cosmos, right? We are evolving our consciousness the same way that creator is growing and learning. But when I was, you're not gonna be able to see this, but I'll put it on the website. As I was reading this last book, hang on a second. It wasn't this book. It was Indigo. Ah, this is what happened. Imprinting is the seventh of eight book. Indigo is the last book of the Right Use of Will book series. Indigo is book eight. That's why I couldn't find the chapter. So I started this book on February 16th, 2026. Now, here we go, and I'll type up what I'm about to say from the table of contents, but Source was giving the true story of what happened to the High Priestess in Delphi, and also goes into the story of Vivian Le Fay. Yeah, Vivian Le Fay, but she changed her name to Morgan Le Fay. And Morgan Le Fay was the evil twin sister of King Arthur, right? But Merlin groomed Morgan Le Fay, actually more Merlin groomed King Arthur for sort of a candidate, an apprentice to be a king in order to do some of Merlin's work. But Morgan Le Fay, ended up blackmailing King Arthur. Without getting into that story of King Arthur having the child from his sister and or cousin, either way, the bloodline got tainted a little bit, and she ended up getting power and blackmailed Merlin, and Merlin had to teach Morgan Le Fay all the magic to get more power on Earth. And then Merlin ends up at the end of his life getting trapped in a cage by Morgan Le Fay because she don't need him anymore. So this woman had motives for a lot of power within her assigned place, time, lot, and her form that she had at the time. She was an example of how we disregard love in order for power on Earth. Okay, that power that is used in a different way, not a wrong way, a different way. Because Source, Creator, Spirit is always learning from the who we are. Because we are creator, right? In fact, what is it about what does God learn from our existence? That cannot be answered, but it is a question for the soul. Okay. What does God learn from my existence? What does God learn from each one of us and our existence? Okay. There's actually a Tool song, the band Tool, called Part of Me. Highly recommend listening to that song and reading the lyrics because we are images of Creator. Okay. Now, going back to Indigo, while I was reading about Morgan Le Fay and King Arthur, I kept having these mental images surface, and I knew I had, and it was referenced in a book, and I knew I had this book that I bought probably 3, 4 years ago, and it just sat on my bookshelf. Well, as I was finishing Indigo, I already made a mental note as the thought stream was coming through, right? Higher mind touching lower mind, that I was going to read this book. Now, the book that was flashing with my consciousness was The Sea Priestess by Dion Fortune. I did not know what this book was about. All I knew was the title and author. Dion Fortune is one of my favorite teachers. I have read all of these books from Dion Fortune. Let's see, how can I do this? There you go. Right. This one's actually not from Dion Fortune. This one's from John Michael Greer. Oops. John Michael Greer. I highly recommend this book because it's community built. John Michael Greer, who is a very intellect and magical man, put together a different perspective on how to read Dion Fortune's The Cosmic Doctrine. I'm getting a little sidetracked, but I'm going to go back to the Sea Priestess. I've read this book probably 5 times over the past 5 years. In fact, you can see how much and how deep I went into this book. I mean, it's embodied in me. It's a creation story, the cosmic doctrine on how the universe has came about. A lot of times words just doesn't work. It's more of a knowing that can't be explained. And that's why silence is sometimes one of the preferred methods when it comes to doing this type of work. But going back to Indigo, I knew that the images kept coming up. Sea Priestess, Dion Fortune, Sea Priestess, Dion Fortune. I was like, okay, I'll read it after I finish Indigo. Well, little did I know that Dion Fortune knows a lot about King Arthur and Morgan Le Fay, who was Vivien Le Fay. She knows the story, and she used the name Morgan Le Fay. She used the name Vivien Le Fay as a fictional character in this book, where the story. The story aligns with a lot of Dion Fortune's teachings when it comes to the mystical Kabbalah and walking the path of the mystic. When it comes to Isis Unveiled and Isis Veiled, she uses characters within the 20th century. But the name Morgan Le Fay was used. So that really got my attention. I'm like, there we go. That's why I keep having the mental images as I was finishing Indigo in the book series of Right Use of Will. And so Dion Fortune teaches, she used to teach her students within her mystery school that we can learn the Kabbalah and Tree of Life and cosmic doctrine and all these teachings that are great. But actually, I'm going to read exactly what she said because she talked about how. Okay. Vivien Le Fay Morgan, Morgan Le Fay. Here. Okay. Well, as I'm trying to find it, I'll paraphrase. She talked about how we, here it is. No, that's not it. She talked about how we can, there's the one who will study and embody the Kabbalah tree of life, but a lot of that appears as theory, even though it explains consciousness and how consciousness works, and how consciousness, the tree of life, can serve as sort of like a map of consciousness and the unity of God and the 32 paths of wisdom, 22 Terekies, the 10 Sephiroth, 10 planets, the four elements. But she wrote fiction books and novels because that will allow her students, or anyone who studies, her students within the mystery school, to learn how to apply the teachings to everyday life, to real life, right? And then that's when we become the adept and the walking mystic. We're actually allowing the life force to flow through us for nature, for the higher good of humanity. Okay. I do like this quote though. I'm gonna read it because a lot of times these books are not for everyone, but at the same time, they will bring different perspectives no matter what. Oscar Wilde said, 100 people who read one book, that equals 100 books. But here, Dion Fortune talked about her opinion with people who read fiction. And people read fiction in order to supplement the diet life provides for them. If life is full and varied, they like novels and analyze and interpret it for them. If life is narrow and unsatisfying, they supply themselves with mass production wish fulfillments. Right? So, and then she said that she has managed to fit her books in between these two stools so neatly that it is hardly fair to say that it falls between them. It is a novel of interpretation and a novel of wish fulfillment at the same time. Okay. But as I was reading this book, I'll go ahead and summarize this book. And then I have one other book I'm going to talk about. So Morgan Le Fay, this woman, she's actually a reincarnation of a high priestess, or I should say a priestess of the goddess, the great goddess, the mother of everything. We're actually all from the mother of everything, but we all have our thread, our track, and which our consciousness will tread and explore. And that's what our individual consciousness, which creates the mass tapestry of tapestry, excuse me, tapestry, which is all created together within the cosmos. That's the zoomed out perspective. But while we are multidimensional beings and playing out our roles along different lines, okay, it's important to realize that Humanity serves humanity. Okay. That's we can catch ourselves with judgments and denials and focusing on wrongs and lack. Well, then that is gaps within us that are being reflected that we can work on fulfilling once we go within to seek those answers. Now, a lot of times the answers will be from the outside reflected, but it's our job and our, when we auto suggest to our subconscious and the subconscious responds with the interpretation that it has to work with, it's our job to use our emotional state to decipher on how we will manage our choices. Okay, so we're being guided in all moments. We are learning in all moments. We are being grown. We're growing in all moments. Attainment really is a word I try not to use because if we can perceive life as the spiral, right? We just continue to keep moving, right? Inertia is, it can be a vice, but the virtue that we can gain from inertia can allow the alchemy of consciousness and the growth of our consciousness. But going back to the sea priestess, now, Morgan Le Fay, in this book, she is the reincarnation of a priestess who was from another epoch and came into this time to actually help assist plant the seed for the women of humanity to evolve and grow in a more healthier, I don't want to say faster way, but she sort of set the track in motion. She pivoted the direction where women were going on a subconscious level now, not conscious level, because the vibration that she brought in and carried is not going to be in the conscious light. And that's why a lot of times Lilith and Kali, these types of dark Isis figures, or we can say the personalities that come in that carry this vibration, they're going to be working in the background. And so what Morgan Le Fay did in this book was she was guided, okay, to a individual, a guy who had, he was 35 years old, real estate agent, sort of stuck in life, mundane, lived with his mother and his sister, and they told him what to do. He was kind of a doormat. He was just like, yeah, whatever. So he was kind of sick of life, right? Well, then he sold some real estate. The woman ended up dying and leaving everything to Morgan Le Fay, who is not re a relative. Okay. Now, Morgan Le Fay took the resources and then slowly and surely she signed all the paperwork and they were officially hers. And then she begin to analyze the real estate agent. Now, here she is, a strong woman with deep insight who is constantly analyzing the masculine, okay, the masculine, the men. She's not young, but she appears young, okay. The age is not really revealed in this book, but the real estate agent, he perceived her as old, but he couldn't quite quite guess her age, and he knew she was, or she he perceived her as young, but he knew she was old because he did the math once he got the story of how she got the land. His name was Wilford Maxwell. Okay, so he is telling this story in first person. The Unfortune is telling the story in first person, but it's coming through Wilford Maxwell, the real estate agent. Now, he views the mysterious woman as he can't quite figure her out, but he's things start changing in his life and he starts making different choices, right? Morgan Le Fay, her motive was to really find out if he could be assistance in the magical work that needed to be accomplished within her lifetime. She expressed that she had failed many times trying to work with some of the male figures because the male will actually bring in the magnetism that is needed for the female to do the work when it comes to the conscious awareness, the conscious, or excuse me, the cosmic connection in order for the work to be done on the physical plane. So she had to get the environment that she inherited correct in order for her to perform her magic. She worked with Wilford and realized that he needed her help and she needed his help. Now he is just kind of down in the dumps on life. He has asthma. The attacks are getting worse. The asthma attacks. He frustrated with his mom and wife. He moved out, built a little like a loft in the barn, and so his life begins to change, and then she, Morgan Le Fay, puts in requests for Wilford to go forth and take the property and create a temple. Okay, now this property is an old army fort. Nobody really lives out there. There's a few small houses. It's difficult to get there. It's on the ocean side. So he's confused, but at the same time, he's feeling alive. And this mysterious woman has got his interest in a lot of ways. Not so much physically, but he begins to be vitalized and kind of has a purpose now, other than just selling real estate and maintaining a real estate business and talking to the same people. Well, he goes forth and takes this old fort, builds the temple based off the request from Morgan Le Fay. Now, there's a lot of trust that he is putting forth, and I'm skipping over a lot of the emotions he felt, a lot of thoughts he was thinking, and he had his I don't want to say doubts, but he was working every weekend, just getting it ready. And then at one point in the book, she left for the summer for about 3 months. And he was just grinding away, getting this army fort ready for her return. Little did he know that he was going to be, well, he began to realize that there's something going on where she, his mind interpreted as a she needs a sacrifice in order for a new temple to be built, right? And so He's like, oh, well, I'm probably gonna be sacrificed, but you know what? I don't care. This is the first time I felt alive in my life. Okay. He did care, but at the same time, he kept pushing forward. And he actually told her, I'm not gonna be sacrificed. And she replied, I need you. I'm not gonna sacrifice you, and I'm not sacrificing anybody. In fact, you're sacrificing just by your time and energy. Not under, not that's not the word I want to use. Unreserved. It's unconditional. You're coming. There's a transaction being made. Yes, she's making him feel alive. He's accomplishing things. His asthma is getting better. It's going away. Where he there is a transaction. He begins to fall in love with her, but being a priestess, a sea priestess, right? She's actually a sea priestess of the moon goddess, and Isis, she knows that she is a woman of all women. Now, she embodies this essence, and knowing helps guide Wilford and understanding his essence, which is all of us. Okay, if we go within and deep enough that he is actually the man of all men. So here we have divine feminine principle, and eventually it unfolds within Wilford, divine masculine principle, working together. She meditates and brings in the energies. A lot of it has to do with connecting with the moon, and Wilford did the same thing, connect with the moon. This brought in the vibration within the old army fort, which is now a temple, and she was able to complete her ritual, which allowed a lot of the subconscious of humanity to pivot and move forward with the evolution of the collective consciousness. Okay. Now, then towards the end of this book, Morgan Le Fay, this woman's very, she was very smart and guided and trust and she completed the ritual, no matter how much Wilford didn't understand. Now, Wilford has also created the magical personality where the higher mind of Wilford has been integrated. Not integrated, it just is. Okay. Integrated means there's duality. But Wilford realizes that he is divine masculine principle. Well, though after the ritual is completed, I'm gonna just summarize it real quick. Again, he loved Morgan Le Fay. Morgan Le Fay, with a Lilith type personality, she completed her work and disappeared, leaving Wilford not knowing where she was. Now, she did leave a letter and she ended up li signing over all the assets. But towards the end, after Morgan Le Fay disappeared, Wilford began to change in a way where he was unrecognizable compared to the old Wilford. Okay. Now, he was very angry and hurt when Morgan Le Fay disappeared, but he knew that she was here to perform her task and her magic. And so that sort of overrided the what he wants. He couldn't get. So Life went on. He began to sell real estate again. He fell back into everyday life. He ended up marrying his business assistant, Molly, who was just a homegrown country girl, had an abusive stepfather. The mother was allowed this behavior and was sort of a softie when it came to not standing up to her husband or even protecting her daughter. And her name was Molly, who the business assistant. Name was Molly. She was young. She was 26. Wilfred, he was about 36. Anyway, he ended up marrying her. There's a lot that happened in making this decision, but I'm going to leave that part out because the stepfather stepped in and tried to control the situation, but it didn't work. Now, Wilford married Molly not out of love. In fact, it's more like a desperate attempt to he married her unknowingly why. Sort of just fell into the marriage. Okay. So they had this really boring marriage, Molly and Wilford, and she loved taking care of him, and she actually loved him, but it was more of like a young love. She just hooked into wanting to be with him as a young girl and worked at the office in order just to be around him. And he didn't really know that she had this crush on him for years. Anyway, they get married, and this young girl who really doesn't have a personality that much, isn't excited and or excitable, fiery, just caretaker. Let me take care of you, take care of everything, take care, and just sacrifices herself for everyone else without knowing who she really is. Well, and the book ends by Molly and Wilford moving back out to the fort, and he begins to share a little bit of what happened with Molly. Okay. Now, remember, Morgan Le Fay, she came into this incarnation and created the route for the feminine moving forward on a subconscious level. It's not even obvious for the conscious mind of women. But when Molly was out by the fort, the temple, of course, there's a house out there, and they begin to try to live out there as a married couple. And then a lot of the subtle magic that was already lingering, residual magic was out there, began to take place. And Molly's curiosity, being a small town girl and never had the opportunity to focus on herself, things begin to happen. And Wilford began to notice, well, even though Morgan Le Fay was no longer around, her essence was still present, along with the magic that had been worked. Molly began to grow curious about herself and grow in a way that was different than not grow different, but begin to develop higher understandings about herself. Time went on. And then Isis unveiled herself within Morgan. Now there is also the Moon Priest, who I haven't mentioned yet. The Moon Priest worked with Wilford. That's the masculine principle. We could say Divine Father, whereas the Divine Feminine, Isis, Divine Mother, worked through Morgan Le Fay, and then there was this creation within this spot within the temple that the energies and the vibration was created, brought to earth, it channeled through. All right. Without sexual intercourse, it happened in another way. Okay. There was no orgasm. Orgasm is actually orgone, which is used a lot with crystals, is the name of orgasm. It came from the name orgasm, and a lot of the sexual energies that flow from the cosmos down to the physical plane come through the not just physical sex, but the unconditional love of the correct marriage when complementary partners come together and have unconditional love for one another. The orgasm, which is pure cosmic energies, will come through to the physical plane. Okay. Now, there is differentiation within intercourse and orgasms, where one who is full of denials and has intercourse orgasm, that energy is not the same as what I just mentioned. But this work that Morgan Le Fay did with Wilfred Maxwell was very unique. Anyway, going back to Molly, she began to slowly embody these higher understandings with Wilfred. And Wilfred, again, they're married, but they hardly touch each other. The communication's kind of broken. But out here in the fort, in the temple, they begin to grow closer to one another, and he begins to notice things that are different about her in a way where she has these higher understandings of who she really is, her essence, and where it's from. Okay. And all of it takes time, and it started to slowly unfold, just like it does with all of us. There's a spiritual unfoldment process that can take years. And Molly began to realize that she could connect with who I call Mother of Everything, which we can call Isis. Isis, who is veiled, which is within nature, unveils herself, right? So as Molly begins to meditate and connect with the moon goddess. The story ends by, oh man, it had such a good ending. And they actually had some invocations that were said, and a lot of it was channeled. Morgan's knowledge did not know a lot of the channelings that were received, but here we talk about, or Dion Fortune is explaining that Morgan, now, this is after Morgan left. I'm at the end of the book. Morgan had said that on the inner planes, the woman is positive and should take the initiative, where the astral plane is ruled by the moon and woman is her priestess. And when she comes in her ancient rite representing the moon power is hers, and she can fertilize the male by vitalizing magnetic force. So that's going into a little bit deeper when. If Molly and Wilford carried on their life afterwards, after they began to know that, after Molly understood and knew that she was a woman of all women, And Wilford knew he was a man of all men. That cosmic force is going to come through, in which it says here the barriers of the personality went down, and we were made one with the cosmic life. Not one with each other, for that I think can never be, and we miss the turning when we seek it, but one with a larger whole, and as things which are equal to a third are equal to either, losing ourselves in the larger life, we found each other. It is a thing difficult to explain and a matter of experience. Yeah. I have put it as clearly as I can. I do not pretend to understand it. There's something beyond friendship to be found in marriage, something that the personality of the beloved cannot give. It is the magnetic something that begins to flow when we reach out beyond the personality of the woman towards her essential womanhood. This essence, this vital principle that creates the form through function, which was what the ancients personified as the great goddess Isis, veiled in heaven and unveiled in love. So, goes on and on about the magnetic moon tides and how Molly, she becomes, to put it simply, centered in herself. And so does Wilford. Okay. Now, going back to me reading this book and how it relates to the Indigo book, it's primarily how energy moves, and especially through the feminine principle. And Dion Fortune knew all this. She was taught. She was a very high adept. And so I read that book and I finished, and then I realized that Dion Fortune, right before she died, or she didn't die, but before she transitioned from physical plane, she began part two of the Sea Priestess. This is called Moon Magic. And the story takes place with Morgan Le Fay, who disappeared within the first book, but now is within a different part of the country to do some more work as a higher adept. So she did not die in the first book. She did not transition after doing her rite of Isis, the work that she performed. And I'm about halfway through this book, but Lilith Le Fay, but it's really Lilith, the dark Isis, the essence within her. Morgan Le Fay changes her name to Lilith Le Fay. She begins to tell her story from first person, which she didn't do in the Sea Priestess. So this book is a strong continuation of the Sea Priestess. And it's really hooked me. So now that I'm beginning to understand a little bit more from what Creator was explaining to me from higher understandings of creation and also the four part of God, it's very simple. It's we have heart, body, mother, which is will, okay? Heart, body, will, and spirit. Spirit is consciousness. Will is subconsciousness, emotional body. Heart, the bridge. Body, the image that we are. So we are all creator walking around after we drank the cup of forgetfulness before we incarnated. And we're attempting to retrieve lost will. And that's sort of the game we're playing We're pretending that we're not creator, but the goal is to come to the realizations that we are creator. And we do that by identifying our denials and keep an eye on our judgments, identify our judgments and blame, and when we focus on wrong, focus on lack. But going back to, forgot where I was going with Lilith. Oh yeah, it was just a very powerful continuation that I began after reading the Sea Priestess and Moon Magic. She's really explaining how the ethers work with the physical plane. And she, Lilith, again, needs that male counterpart. So she's scanning candidates. She finds a doctor who, this man, very hardworking, work ethic. He married 20 years ago, young, to a woman. They attempted to have a kid, miscarriage. They sort of grew apart for 20 years, but stayed married. And so he has a lot of built up tension, energy. He's even got red hair. He works hard, he does everything, and he has this stoic personality where he can just turn everything off and just focus and push everything out of the way. Well, Lilith identifies this within the man. He begins having what's called phantasms. I say it right? Phantasms. Phantasms. He starts noticing this mysterious woman with a hood, begins using his imagination, and then he realizes that this woman within his imagination, which she's real, she's playing, she's got one foot in physical, one foot in the ether. He begins to realize that she's bringing him some comfort just because of what he's been doing for 20 years, which is constantly helping people in the hospital, but not helping himself. So this mysterious woman within his imagination starts to bring comfort to him. And now I'm about a third to, through the book. The story switches from the doctor's first person perspective to the second part of the book, which is Lilith first person, and she's telling the story, even going back to the first book with Wilford and explaining some things. But again, being a high adept and a priestess who remembers all her incarnations in parallel lives through Atlantis, Lemuria, even Pangaea, she is now here to again create a stirring within the collective subconsciousness or unconsciousness for the evolution of humanity. She also mentions in this book, than this one, that she's a 120 years old, but with the life force that's flowing through her, unrestricted life force, right? That means removed all the denials. She is of service in the most high way, highest way for cosmic forces to flow through her. She has kept her youth. So that was used as a tool so that she could attract the magnetism needed from the active principle, the masculine principle, the active principle that is needed for the passive principle, the feminine principle. Okay. But anyway, I'm going to stop. It was sort of like this inner voice nagging that I needed to make a video about these books for my own personal journey, but also to share my journey for all who were interested in the Right Use of Will book series and the works of Dion Fortune.